I will call this session of the Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Kimball? Commissioner Wilson? Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
I'm here. We have seven. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Zinner?
Yes, there are. We will be adding at the beginning of the agenda an additional tabling request, which has been distributed in front of you for case number 08-2023.
Okay, given that adjustment, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner Lowe. Thumbs up approval of the agenda. Thank you. The copy of the November 10th, 2022 regular meeting minutes were distributed with the agenda. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
Moved to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval of the minutes. Thank you very much. Now on to the tabling request. We will start with case number 20-2023, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of Bowling Street LLC for a conditional use permit to allow temporary shelter as a conditional use in the MC zoning district. The use is subject to conditional use standards in section 29-6.4M2 and use specific standards in section 29-3.3I. The 5.67 acre subject site is located on the northeast corner of East Business Loop 70 and Bowling Street and includes Lot 1 of EC Moore's Subdivision Plat 1A. A request to table this item to the December 22nd, 2022 Planning Commission meeting has been received. Is there a report from staff on the tabling motion?
Other than the purpose of the tabling request is to allow for the applicant to have completed some additional review and respond to review comments that were offered. We have received updated plan documents at this point. They are in the process of review, so we are on track for a published staff report for the December 22nd meeting. We are supportive of the tabling.
Thank you. Was this published or announced for public comment?
It was a publicly advertised hearing, so if there is anyone in the audience that would like to speak about the tabling, it would be standard practice to allow them to approach.
Okay. Are there any commissioners who have had outside communications or talked to anyone about this case? Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Seeing none, since this was advertised for public comment, I would now take any public comment on the tabling motion. We will have public comment again on December 22nd on the underlying case number. Anyone here want to make public comment on the tabling motion? Seeing none. Commission comment on the tabling motion, Commissioner McMahon.
If my fellow commissioners have no other questions or concerns in the matter of case 20-2023, I move to table to date certain 22 December 2022.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the tabling motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have seven votes to approve. The motion carries.
That case will be tabled to December 22nd, 2022. The next case we have for a tabling motion is case number 08-2023, Is this also for date certain?
Date certain, January 5.
January 5. Thank you. A request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of Black Dog Consulting and Development, LLC, seeking approval of a rezoning from R1 to R2 with the intent to develop the site with cottage-style lots. The 3.3-acre site is located on the eastern frontage of Oakland Gravel Road, approximately 500 feet north of Blue Ridge Road, and is commonly addressed 3612 Oakland Gravel Road. A tabling request has been received on this case to table till January 5th, 2023. Is there a staff report? I guess you've already given
this particular this particular item is being requested to be tabled, as is outlined in front of you, to allow for the applicant and the proposed property purchaser to have more public engagement with the surrounding property owners before coming before the Planning Commission. That will be occurring here probably before the holiday. Hence the reason for the request tabled to January 5, not December 22.
And was this one advertised for public?
Yes, and I did receive a letter of correspondence, which is in front of you today as well.
Thank you very much. Are there any commissioners who have talked to any of the parties about this case that they would like to disclose now so that we all have the same information? None. Are there any further questions for staff? Seeing none, is there anyone here from the public who would like to speak to the tabling motion on this case? Again, we will have a public hearing on January 5th to talk about the underlying merits. Seeing none, is there any commissioner comment on the tabling motion for this case? Commissioner McMahon.
There are no questions or concerns by my fellow commissioners. I have a motion in the matter of case 082023. I move to table this until date certain, 5 January, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 7 yes votes. The motion carries.
Thank you. That case will be tabled till January 5th, 2023. Next up on the agenda are subdivisions. Case number 247-2022, a request by a civil group on Lynn Miller and Jr. and Wendy Miller owners. Doesn't make sense. Okay. Seeking approval of a 16-lot preliminary plat. The 5.0-acre site is currently zoned R1 and is located approximately 250 feet southeast of the Oakland Gravel Road and Blue Ridge Road intersection and contains the address 3310 Oakland Gravel Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. To begin, notice for this was originally given via postcard on August 8th, as this was originally scheduled for September. However, during the first round of comments, we came to the conclusion that more work was needed to look at tree preservation and stormwater. So the applicant took some time to work on that and then scheduled it for this meeting day, and then we resent postcards on November 10th. 38 postcards were sent out. And I have had some comments and calls from neighbors, particularly to the south, with, I would say, inquiries and just strong interest in what is being developed here. To orient ourselves to the site, again, it's southeast of Blue Ridge Oakland Gravel Road here. Let's see, to the east on Blue Ridge is Glorieta Drive, where it stubs out against this property. Adjacent to some schools here to the west and then to the northeast as well, generally surrounded by, to the southeast here on the street below, single family structures. The site is zoned R1, one family dwelling. It's currently an unplatted tract, but is improved with single family structure and a garage. It is a heavily wooded site. Working through the concept reviews, staff identified this as a potential site for good infill development kind of getting at that there's a street stubbing out to this with the potential to connect that out to Glorieta Drive. But this would propose infill development of 15 residential lots with a common lot for stormwater and tree preservation and an extension of the local street. The plat contains a lot layout with lot sizes ranging from 7,000 square feet, which is the minimum for R1, up to about 15,000 square feet, which, I believe small lot sizes was something that staff noted could be done with this infill site during the concept reviews. Here is a picture of the plat where you can see to the northeast, Glorieta Drive terminates about in this location, and they're proposing to extend that through here in a loop to connect to Oakland Gravel Road. You can see the lots fronting the street here, and the large lot to the southwest here is the common lot containing both storm detention area and tree preservation. As I mentioned, it's heavily wooded. The site contains almost 1 1/3 acres of climax forest and 10 significant trees. 25% of the climax forest is being preserved, as is the minimum requirement per land disturbance here. All significant trees are being removed, but will be replaced in accordance with the tree preservation requirements as well, and is noted on the plan. The common lot here contains a storm detention area. It was noted during the first interview from stormwater staff that there's an active stormwater issue south of this. We relayed this info to the applicant, and it's actually part of the first round review. They made some revisions to the site, increased that common lot, and redesigned the site to accommodate this in addition to meeting the requirements of the stormwater ordinance. Glorieta Drive is a local residential street that's being extended through here, as I mentioned previously. Particularly with infill development, I just want to note that connectivity is difficult to accomplish, but there's an existing stub here, and connectivity is being accomplished with that. So, again, credit to the developer for going with staff's recommendations and making that possible. Originally, during the concept review, there was, a cul-de-sac, and working with them, they've been able to provide more lots on here and connectivity. For Oakland Gravel Road, this preliminary plat shows 3 feet of additional right-of-way being dedicated to meet the required half-width for a major collector, and direct access would be prohibited onto Oakland Gravel Road. Standard 10-foot utility easements are being granted along all street frontages, and there's an additional 8-foot utility easement for electric facilities being located on some of the rear lots. Staff is recommending approval of the requested preliminary plat to be known as Carpenter's Ridge, as it conforms to the R1 zoning standards within the UDC. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for your report. If there are any commissioners who have had outside communication regarding this case, we ask that you now disclose it so that we will all be working from the same information. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planner Kelly, a couple things. Could you review the feedback you got from me from the southern neighbors one more time? What did they say?
What I recollect is just strong interest in what is being developed here. I don't know that I had any opposition to
it. Specific objections or...
Right, they wanted to see what the plan would look like, largely.
That's what I thought you said. I just want to get more specific. The second issue I have is a clarification. If I heard you correctly, their stormwater retention facility, as originally proposed, is sufficient for their site, but they have agreed to expand that facility to help address other stormwater issues in the area. Did I understand you correctly?
Yes, in combination with the tree preservation as well.
Thank you.
So, yep, no problem.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Lowe.
Mr. Kelly, your report identified that sidewalks would be required along Glorieta, and I know that the drawings show the existing sidewalk. They don't call out the new sidewalk. And due to the new proposed right-of-way setback, I guess I was just a little unclear regarding if the sidewalk was shown and or what the situation was.
I believe it's shown right here. But sidewalk would be required if Yeah, sidewalk would be required. I mean, if commission would like a label added there, I guess we could add that as a technical correction, minor technical correction.
If it doesn't need to be shown, I think we often see them, so I look for them, but.
Okay, we can speak the applicant too, but I think it'd be no problem to add just a simple label, just pointing out where it is.
That are simply shading it. It doesn't appear to be shaded at this point, which is what you typically are accustomed to seeing, a shaded sidewalk location.
Or a note with the width called out. I believe it is calling the 5 foot existing on the left hand. I'm too zoomed in to see where the north arrow is at this on Oakland Gravel. So I just wasn't sure what was being provided along Glorieta. Thank you.
Any other questions, Commissioner McMahon?
I may have a second dip at the well. To follow up on Commissioner Lowe, because we have had misunderstandings in the past, I'd feel a lot better if it was there and it was shaded in. Okay. Just clear. I know it's redundant, but thanks.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner Stanton.
Want to make a comment? Yeah, we all know what assume does, so yeah, let's not assume and make sure that it's crystal clear on all documentation.
I see a note being made. Excellent. Any further questions? Seeing none, I will now open the public hearing. Please come forward if you have comment. We allow for 3 minutes for individuals, 6 minutes for a group. Please state your name and address and speak as close to the mic as you can.
Good evening. My name is Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer with a civil group here, and I'm here representing Lynn and Wendy, who own this 5 acres. The sidewalk is shown. It is not shaded, but we certainly can add that label, but the intent is to build sidewalks on both sides of the new street and walk on Oakland. So, and as far as the stormwater, you can see from the contours there, those lots to the south of us have basically a 3-to-1 slope up to our property. We're going to make sure that our water doesn't cross that line and goes into our pond and then gets into the storm system. Without going into those people's yards. But other than that, I think this is a pretty straightforward request, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Lynn and Wendy are here if you have questions for them.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Ooh, everyone. Okay, Commissioner McMahon and then Commissioner Placer.
Just real quick, just a comment. Mr. Gephardt, thank you for the stormwater. Thank you for making the adjustments on the trees as well. We appreciate when you all take that up. To the Millers also, thanks.
Commissioner Placer.
My concern is for the leveling pretty much of the wooded area, including the significant trees. There are not gonna be that many left. Obviously, we can't preserve the ones in the middle of the street on Glorieta, but is all that destruction of forest really necessary, or is it being done for economic reasons?
On this project, Lynn is a builder himself, so I think he'll have an eye for each lot, and if there's a tree that he can save, I'm sure that he will go to great lengths to try to save those. We don't have to clear cut everything all the way to the property lines. We do have to make a level space for a home to be built. And I think that is the intent. Don't confuse the 25% minimum, as we always show the minimum because we don't know how many trees, but our intent is not to take all the way down to 25%. Give us the flexibility to be able to clear trees that we can.
I think the recorder's having a hard time hearing you,
oh,
Jay.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt there, Madam.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions, or were you finished, Commissioner? Anyone else questions for the speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public who would like to speak on this case? Name and address. And
Jessica Macy, 2401 East Oakland Ridge Drive. We are the lot directly south of the water retention area, and obviously have significant concerns as a river runs through our backyard as to what this will do to our property and how that stormwater will be retained, maintained. I'm not sure I realized it was a pond until just now. That makes a really big difference when that's in your backyard. So I just wanted to voice concerns from us as the directly south neighbors. Thank you.
All right, if you would stay there for just a moment. Are there any questions for this speaker? Commissioner McMahon.
Hi, we know each other. You may have heard me praise Mr. Gephardt for addressing that. A couple things. When this is being built, it shouldn't be any worse than it is right now. And if it's built the way it's supposed to be built, it should be better than the way it is right now. So with that in mind, you're going to need to keep in contact with, that's ONS, is that correct? Or
Building and Site Development.
Mr. Simon?
Yes.
Yes. And just make sure it doesn't get any worse. And hopefully, because you guys, we have this problem a lot where someone has, it's already flooding and they're concerned. Keep an eye on those trees too for us, will you?
We love the trees too. Yeah. But yeah, that's exactly our concern, is making sure we've already had to fix our foundation twice. And so doing it again is a lot of expense. And the whole neighborhood slopes that way. So I'm glad that they've actually addressed the issue, and hopefully it will not get worse.
Madam Chair, if I may, if you would get up with staff, they can give you Mr. Simon's contact information.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you for coming. Any other member of the public who would wish to speak on this case, please come forward. Name and address for the record.
Hi, Chris Macy, 2401 East Oakland Ridge Drive. My wife and I both live in the lot on the far left side. As she mentioned, we do have stormwater issues whenever it rains, but I think the bigger issue for us is that that's one of the reasons we bought the house, was because of the open area behind us, not to mention the disc golf course across the street. But it's going to go away, apparently, and it will become houses as opposed to kind of a scenic area that we purchased the house for in the first place. Comment.
Any questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you for coming. Anyone else to speak on this case number?
Hi, Michael Johnson, 2506 Blue Ridge Drive. My question's regarding traffic flow through the area, especially when Oakland Middle School lets out, there can be quite a backup at the four-way stop. I could see this. I'm actually, my driveway is on Glorieta, just to the north of that last lot there. I could see it becoming a very easy shortcut for people who already speed down Blue Ridge quite frequently. Are there any thoughts to putting speed bumps on the area?
That would be a question for staff. And they, I'm sure, could answer all those questions for you. Do you have further comment?
My only concern.
Okay, thank you. Please don't walk away. Staff?
Was it for Glorieta, you said, correct?
For
yeah,
Glorieta.
There wouldn't be any requirement that any speed bumps be installed.
Requirement whatsoever.
No, there is a process for their neighborhood traffic calming program for the city to look into it through the study and then see what safety or traffic calming improvements could be made, which could include speed bumps.
Very good. Any questions for the speaker? Commissioner Carroll first.
I was going to suggest that you get in touch with staff. You can give them the section from the city website that has that process. It's fairly straightforward to start on the path to request traffic calming, mm-hmm. And that's something that I'd encourage that you do. and involve your neighbors in the process.
Thank you.
Commissioner McMahon.
Just the exact same thing, and this will require essentially a majority of your neighbors to do that. And I, with traffic coming, I don't think you're going to have any problem getting a majority of your neighbors together on something.
Sure, and I'm sure this would just be addresses on Glorieta Drive currently, correct, those neighbors?
Well, if there's traffic coming, going to be on Glorieta, that's where, yes, that would be those folks.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing none, thank you for coming forward. Anyone else to speak on this case from the public? Seeing none, any commissioner comment? Seeing none, Commissioner McMahon?
I have a comment, and this is a note for us and staff. I would, at some point in the future, like to revisit the tree ordinance. I'm just putting that out there. Don't want to discuss it now. I've just had some thoughts for a while.
Very good. Any other comment? Commissioner Placer.
Yeah, I would second that. I think that given the heavily wooded nature of the current area, this is a lot of it's a lot of loss. Not that the surrounding areas have lots of trees, and this was perhaps inevitable, but if we could begin to mitigate the loss, that would be good. I'm not the Lorax, but.
Good. Any other comments? Commissioner Burns?
If there are no other comments, I'll make a motion. Move to approve the preliminary lot plat in case number 247-2022.
Second.
Is that subject to minor technical correction?
Yes. I would advise that.
Subject to minor technical corrections.
Second the addendum.
Thank you. Moved by Commissioner Burns and seconded by Commissioner McMahon as the motion is amended. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 7 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to public hearings, case number 280-2022, a request by a civil group on behalf of Cinnamon Hill LLC for approval of a one-lot PD plan on PD plan development zoned property for a 4-story hotel located on lot 108A of Cross Creek Center Plat 1A. The approximately 2-acre property is located at the northeast intersection of Stadium Boulevard and Highway 63 and includes the address 1407 Cinnamon Hill Lane. This case was previously tabled at the October 20th, 2022 commission meeting. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Chairman. As you stated, this is a major amendment to an existing PD plan, which we'll kind of overview here in a minute. It is a public hearing. It was sent out for early notifications. 8 postcards were sent out September 23rd, and it was advertised October 4th for an October meeting, but then, as you had stated, was tabled to a future date, which is today. And 8 letters were sent out to surrounding property owners. You can see a aerial of the site within the Cross Creek Center overall commercial development. Kind of to the north is the Kelly Farm Apartments. We're at the intersection here of Stadium on the east-west and Highway 63 north and south, just west of the property. This property kind of abuts the on-ramp, in fact, to Highway 63. What you see here is the existing PD plan. It was approved prior to the UDC adoption, so it was referred to as a CP, so Planned Commercial District, essentially the same as our current PD plan. The red clouded area is the lot in question that we're amending today. Over time, there's been amendments to other lots. You can kind of see on the right side here, that is now the Domain Apartments, was previously a automobile sales center, I believe. But this amendment has to do with just this one lot, which a little hard to make out in here. On the original CP had it as a approximately 8,000 square foot restaurant. So we are expanding the footprint of the building on this site. So again, this is a little bit closer view of that. You can see the smaller footprint, but essentially commercial building, off-street parking. The original was approved in 2008, along with the zoning for CP and the statement of intent for this site. Statement of intent, though, was revised in 2012 to actually explicitly allow hotels on the site. So the use is a permitted use for a hotel, which is what is shown on the plan. It's a four-story hotel. The statement of intent included many elements, you know, your standard allowed uses and some other landscaping requirements, but also some design standards and some additional things we don't see in all of our statements of intent. And again, this was a restaurant previously, and this is kind of one of the remaining vacant lots within that Cross Creek Center. So what we're looking at today as a proposed for this site is a four-story hotel with accompanying off-street parking. The site is showing compliant landscaping with the UDC plus with the original CP plan. I'll note that there is pedestrian access from the public walkway to the site, which is a very nice feature. The height is approximately 45 feet, which is less than the maximum 96 feet, which is permitted with the statement of intent for this site. Open space calculations, again, are compliant with the minimums and also with the overall amount of landscaping that's required with the Cross Creek development. The site itself overall had a max gross floor area as well, and we're coming in just under that right now, so which makes sense since we're getting kind of to the last few lots, but they did come under that 580,000 square feet cap. The hotel, again, was permitted with the revision. The statement of intent does have some design features too. Some of those are limits on the amount of EFAS on the site, which we found to be compliant, and some other material requirements. So we found they're all compliant with the features that are required in the statement of intent. And this is the color architectural rendering for the site. As you can see, a lot of the kind of speckled color there is kind of a stone material. Does have a amount of EFAS on there that comes in, I think, under the 50% max requirement. There's a requirement for it to be kind of generally consistent with the design of other buildings out there. And I won't state that it is compliant with all of them. There is a bit of a mixture of designs out there, but the ones that it's directly adjacent to do have kind of the earth tone palette to them. There are some buildings out there that use that same stone material. So it's generally consistent with the design out there, but I wouldn't say there's a really strong theme that runs out through all of it. With that being said, we are recommending approval of the amendment for this plan, which will be the Lot 108A Cross Creek Center Plat 1APD plan. And a couple notes, though, before I end with that. One, there is a requirement for notification to a couple, surrounding neighborhood associations. We did receive a reply back, or I should say the applicant received a reply back when they submitted some information to them with confirmation from one of those groups approving of that. But I don't think they received any type of response from the other group. So that is all the correspondence we have to date for this project. The other is, I mentioned the staff report. I won't dwell on it very long. But we have been notified of some potential pending litigation regarding this site and the use of it as a hotel. I can just inform you that that litigation should not impact the decision made today, and we can rule on this as normal, as the Planning and Zoning Commission sees fit. But if there are any further questions about that, we do have legal counsel here, so you might direct it her way. So with that being said, again, we are recommending approval of this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Before we direct questions to staff, if there are any of my fellow commissioners who have had outside discussions regarding this case, we would ask you now disclose it so that we can all work from the same information. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Staff for legal. Thompson, can you enlighten me on what's not supposed to influence my decision?
I can. Excuse me. As Mr. Smith pointed out, there is a lawsuit that's been filed in this case. Mr. Hollis may speak more to this.
I noted his presence.
The The lawsuit is seeking judicial relief to restrain Cinnamon Hill from pursuing approval of a PD amendment to allow for the construction of a hotel. The merits, it is my recommendation to you, the merits of the plaintiff's argument in that lawsuit are not for this body to decide. The judicial process will determine that. You all are here to make a land use decision, and that lawsuit shouldn't bear on that decision and shouldn't impact your decision making.
Madam Chair, while I have legal here, and I've said this before, and you could you please pass this back up the line? I'm loath to rule on these things. I appreciate that everyone's supposed to be objective. My concern is as follows, and I will continue to state this as long as this happens. Our opinion does have merit and bearing with other judicial bodies, quasi or not. I don't, the merits regardless of this case. My concern is as follows. Well, the city said it was okay, and people taking that into consideration. I have said my piece, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions for staff? Seeing none, I will open the floor to public comment. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, speak clearly into the microphone, and 6 minutes for a group and 3 minutes for an individual. Oh, homework.
Good evening. My name is Jay Gephardt. I'm a civil engineer and land surveyor with a civil group, and I'm here representing Genesis, who is the contract purchaser of this lot to build an extended stay hotel, four-story, 122-bedroom. I really don't have a lot of things to address here. I think the staff's making a recommendation of approval is appropriate. Mr. Hollis is here if you have specific questions about this, what I consider a frivolous lawsuit, but that is more his purview than mine. But if you have questions about anything on the plan or about the hotel, I'm here with Renita, who was with Genesis, and she can answer questions specifically about who they are and what they do and why we think this is a good thing for Columbia.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the speaker? Commissioner McMahon.
Comment. Mr. Gephardt, my objections have no bearing on the merit of your case, which I think is good. It's a legal thing. Just want to let you guys know that.
Any other questions for the speaker? Seeing none, is there anyone else who would like to speak on this case number? You know the drill.
Robert Hollis, 1103 East Broadway. I didn't plan to talk. Thank you, Mr. McMahon, sorry. Well, I disagree with you pretty strongly. I can't imagine a court.
Mr. Hollis, we've disagreed before.
We certainly have. So this is there's public restrictions are through ordinances and the like. There are private restrictions on land use that are not through ordinances and the like. And so the case that has been filed has nothing to do with ordinances and land uses under ordinances. It's an allegation under a very far-fetched private restriction. I don't want to get into it too far, but just briefly, there was a contract in 2011 between two parties who are not here. It was 2011. In the contract, one of the parties promised that it would not sell another lot in the development to another person who was going to use it for hotel purposes in 2011. And so one of those parties was the people who are filing a lawsuit now. In 2012, when the statement of intent was revised, those very same parties, all property owners within the development, signed an amendment to the private restrictions They were also on board with the amendment to the public restrictions. Signed a document. It's recorded, by the way. The previous document I mentioned was never recorded. Is recorded that says hotels are permitted on this lot. Everybody agreed, including the folks who have filed a lawsuit saying you can't have a hotel on that lot. Again, a recorded document. And again, not to get too deep into this, imagine if in the house where you live, if you owned it, that three property owners or four property owners prior to you, when they sold it, said in the contract, and never said it anywhere else or recorded it or told anyone else, you can't have pets. Nobody can have pets. You can't sell this property to anybody who's going to have pets. Well, of course, it sells again, and then it sells again. And now it's about to sell again, and you're selling it to someone who goes, I've got dogs. The person who was a party to the contract three contracts ago sues you and says, you can't sell it to anyone who has pets because I had to deal with somebody else. That's what's happening. It's that frivolous, as Jay calls it. Anyway, I didn't intend to get into all that, but the point I really want to make, there's the public side of restrictions through laws, ordinances. That's what's at play here. And then there's the private side. The lawsuit is completely and totally on the private side. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for the speaker? I have one. So to clarify, there is no current injunction, stay, or any other court order that would tell you you can't be here tonight, basically.
And they made that request. They filed the lawsuit, requested a temporary restraining order, an emergency hearing, and the judge, typically you would get a few days, the judge dismissed it outright.
Okay. Thank you very much for being here. Any other public comment on this case? Seeing none, any commissioner comment on the case? Commissioner Stanton.
I understand my fellow commissioners' concerns due to the fact there's a legal situation, but as the speaker clearly expressed, that's on the other side of the coin. Even if we allowed this to happen on our side of the coin, if that side of the coin wins its case, then this dies. So I don't feel any way about making a judgment on this as a land use.
Thank you. Any other commissioner comment? I would second that. If there was anything restraining us, either our very competent legal counsel or the judge in the case would have let us know that we were not being appropriate in our actions. Anyone want to make a motion on the case if we're done with comment?
I'll make a motion.
Commissioner Burns.
Yes, in the matter of case 280-2022, approval of the major amendment to the CP plan for lot 108A Cross Creek Center. I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Burns, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 7 votes to approve. The motion carries.
The recommendation. Madam
Chair? Yes. Commissioner McMahon?
Just a quick whatever. I hope that this remains frivolous. It seems frivolous. I needed to make that point. Other cases we've had, it's been not frivolous. Thank you.
Recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. On to our last case for the evening, case number 21-2023, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of SBSR Properties, LLC, to rezone their 0.14-acre property located at 704 North Williams Street. The applicant requested downzoning of the property from RMF, multifamily dwelling, to R2, two-family dwelling. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Madam Chair. As you said, this property is on the east side of Williams Street, south of Paris Road. It's 0.14 acres. On the public notice front, property owner letters were sent on the 22nd of November to 26 neighboring property owners, and the Tribune ad was run on 12/8 or December. That's not right. It was also run on the 22nd. I'm not sure why I put 12/8 in there, but anyway, here's the aerial oblique. As you can see, this is just north of Amelia Street there, one lot off of the intersection. Paris Road is the diagonal up in the upper left-hand corner there. I'll give you a little perspective. And then the main takeaway from this aerial is that you'll see there's quite a mix here of multifamily, single family. There's some duplexes in there, but you're not going to pick those out from the aerial necessarily, but just a mix of residential uses. So the applicant is seeking a downzoning from RMF to R2. Purpose of that would be to gain legal lot status without platting the property. And I'll get into how that works a little bit, probably on the next slide or two. The applicant intends to redevelop the property with a single family home. And as it sits now, it's not a legal lot and it is zoned RMF, and therefore he is unable to build a single family home back on a lot that was previously occupied by a single family home. It is currently vacant. The home on the property was demolished, I believe, earlier this year or maybe late last year. We've had a number of demolitions on William Street over the last handful of years, so I'm not sure which one of those it was, but it is vacant at this point in time. So on the legal lot definition, if you find it in section 29.1.11, that is our definition section. And basically it defines a lot as anything, any piece of land that is has its boundaries shown on a recorded plat or is described by a recorded instrument prior to annexation or prior to October 5th, 1964. That second part, however, only applies as an exception to the broader definition and only applies to properties in the A, R1, or R2 districts. That is kind of the background information of why this request has been made to downzone to R2, because by doing so, it becomes in compliance with the definition of a legal lot, and therefore a building permit can be issued for another single-family home. Platting the property would actually reduce the buildable area. Because it is RMF, it would require 10-foot side yard setbacks in particular. R2 would reduce those setbacks to 6 feet. And from the aerial you see here, you can tell that the neighboring properties are fairly close. These are smaller lots, and as a matter of fact, the lots along this this stretch of William Street are either just above or just below the threshold of 7,000 square feet that is required for a single-family home. So given the kind of options here, probably the more beneficial would be to rezone it to R2 and avoid that platting action, which would further reduce the buildable area and create more encumbrances on the property. So as I just said, this lot is just under 6,100 square feet, and so regardless of zoning, it's limited to a single-family home. Rezoning offers a more beneficial path to legal lot status, as I kind of said on the last slide. In terms of evaluating the downzoning itself, the zoning aspects, it does help preserve affordable single-family homes in the neighborhood. It can protect the kind of overwhelming character of single-family and smaller multifamily development in that neighborhood. Again, this is the northern end of the Benton Stevens neighborhood, which has seen a lot of turnover in recent years. On the downside, downzoning can also reduce the potential for increased density, but again, in the Benton Stevens neighborhood, That's been less of a priority as opposed to maintaining the single-family nature. So it's kind of a trade-off that they in the Benton Stevens are welcoming. And if you remember a number of these properties, and you can see from the map, there has been downzonings in the past, whether they were R1 or R2, but a number of multifamily properties have been downzoned in this area, and as well as other areas of town like West Central. That's kind of what this slide is for. You can see the hatching across the entirety of the map here. That's the Benton Stevens neighborhood overlay, conservation overlay, and then the zoning map there is the color coding. You can see there's fairly sparse R1 in the lighter yellow in this area, but it kind of picks up again over on Ann Street in McAllister. And then you'll see large blocks of the darker orange. That's the RMF in the neighborhood. And then you'll see smaller interspersed kind of medium yellows that are the R2. And those are kind of more selective as they were part of those downzonings in the past. So the proposed downzoning would be supported by the comprehensive plan because it prioritizes infill and facilitating development of small lots because of the reduced setbacks. That's a benefit to the developer here. Redevelopment would be subject to buffering and neighborhood protection standards. They would be minimal because of the similar zoning and the residential nature of the neighboring properties. But it would be maintained with the rezoning down to R2. And there is no general impact to the density or the housing availability compared to the previous use on the property. Again, it's a single family, traded for a single family at the end of the day. So our recommendation would therefore be approval of the requested rezoning from RMF to R2. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Before we go to questions for staff, if any of the commissioners have had discussions about this case outside of this body, please disclose those now so that we can all work from the same information. Seeing none, any questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Madam Chair, I'm assuming that the Benton Stevens Neighborhood Association did not respond to you?
They did not, no.
Just FYI, if I may, I'm not going to go too much out of limb. This is my neighborhood these days, and I'm just off the map on the southwest. And in general, without speaking for them, philosophically, they would support this.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, if there are any members, we'll now open public hearing. If there are any members of the public, please come forward. State your name and address for the record. 6 minutes with a group, 3 minutes as an individual.
Good evening. Andy Green with Crockett Engineering, 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, building number one. Pretty simple, well explained by staff. My client went in, purchased the property, and tore down the building, went in to actually get a building permit, and was notified that he could not due to its zoning and the fact that it was not legal. So we had two options, either plat it, which takes time and money, or the other option, downzone it to R2, which is what we're requesting tonight. And since he only wants to build and is only allowed by lot area to do a single family, seemed like the logical choice. So happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would wish to speak on this case? Seeing none, commissioner comments on the case. Commissioner Stanton?
There's no other comments or questions from my colleagues. I'd like to make a motion.
Into the microphone, please, Commissioner. Sorry.
As it relates to 21-2023, 704 North William Street rezoning, I move to approve the rezoning from RMF to R2.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Stanton, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we please have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 7 votes to approve. The motion carries.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Thank you. That is the end of our cases for the night. Is there anyone here who wishes to make a public comment generally to the commission? Very good. Are there any staff comments?
Of course. And we are having your December 8th meeting, so your next meeting is December 22nd. Been a busy, busy week. We are going to be discussing several topics during that work session, one of which deals with amendments to the Unified Development Code as a result of Amendment 3's passage. There will need to be some discussion with that and some expedited activity associated with conforming the marijuana provisions of the city's zoning code accordingly. Myself and Ms. Thompson will provide you an overview of that to prepare you for public hearing on January 5th to propose regulatory changes to City Council, given that today is the first day of the new season. So we need to make sure that we get our current operators in a position to where they can and we can comply with the state statute. There will be more work for us as it relates to that topic, but that will be coming later in the spring, over the winter and in the spring, as additional regulatory guidance from DHSS becomes available as it relates to micro enterprises, which are basically going to be the offshoot of equalization of opportunity for medical marijuana businesses. We also we'll be having our annual holiday meal. Typically, we do not do business on this last meeting, at least during work session. However, this year we have to as a result of that. I would request to allow us a little bit of a social hour and some relaxation. If you will arrive a little bit early, we will probably arrange to have meal service at 5:15 versus 5:30, and then allocate roughly an hour probably to discuss the medical marijuana topic. So 5:15, and I will send you out an email in regards to that. We have a number of cases. Obviously, another oddity that we don't normally have. We had the Opportunity Campus, the VAC project, tabled to this meeting agenda. We also had 08-2023 tabled. So those two are additions that were not anticipated, but we originally had one business item. So that one business item that would have been on this agenda was 1623. It is a rezoning request off of Balboa Lane, which is down on the south end of town, across from the South Providence Hy-Vee. And that is a request to rezone RMF property to PD. It is an interesting combination of land uses there at this point. Mr. Kelly will be covering that project. I will be giving you the VAC Opportunity Campus CUP application, and then Mr. Kelly will also be dealing with the Brown School rezoning request. Actually, we have one more, and then 08 will also be Mr. Kelly's. So we can familiarize ourselves with where we are. Your Balboa project is there in that boomerang-shaped parcel. We have a semi-commercial building that was originally a maintenance building associated with the apartment complex that flanks Providence on its west side and wraps around to the southwest extreme of the highlighted parcel. That building is no longer being used for maintenance purposes, but now a storage building, and it is not an allowed use in the RMF district. Therefore, the plan district is trying to reallocate the two multifamily buildings and some available vacant land to the west of the storage building, get it in more of a plan district to deal with residential uses, and then the previously used maintenance building would become the commercial zoning, would become commercially zoned to accommodate that existing structure. Middle one is our VAC property, the VAX property, and on the far right is our slide for the East Brown School Road property, which is a combination request of MC and PD, if I recall correctly. MC and IG, I apologize. IG along the frontage road that leads back towards the jail, and then the MC piece along Brown Station or Brown School. With that, that is all we have. I would like to extend my greatest appreciation to you for the last four or what seems to be like a month's worth of meetings in order to arrive at completion of our draft regulations on short-term rental. For the public's purpose that may be watching this tantalizing television program, we will be having a work session on December 19th at 5 p.m. in conference rooms 1A and 1B here at City Hall to discuss with council the product that has been produced over the last year and a half with the Planning Commission. That material will be available not only on the majority of that material was available this evening, as well as that material will be available on the regular council meeting agenda as a report item that will be published towards the end of next week, and then will be available as part of the work session agenda for the December 19th meeting. We are the second item on that agenda, so we will probably be starting approximately at 6 p.m., and we would welcome any of the commissioners to attend. I know Ms. Galway Jones and possibly Ms. Lowe and Ms. Carroll will be in attendance. Any others are welcome. Mr. Teddy and I will be there from the staff perspective, and the public is welcome to these meetings as well. With that, that is all we have, and we will look forward to seeing you in about a week and a half.
Thank you. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Lowe.
I would just like to observe that I appreciate the work this commission is doing. I think it's good work. I think it's well suited and well received generally. However, there was two cases on the agenda tonight, 21-2023 and 08-2023, which both dealt with rezoning, one from RMF to R2 and the other one from R1 to R2. To get around the fact that we don't have a small lot for R1. And I consider this to be a bit of a Band-Aid situation, and I do feel as if we're probably impeding more activity in infill development due to the lack of not facilitating this type of development. And I would like to get that. I know we have a full agenda. I know we have a lot of work, but we're continually seeing these projects come through this process, which is a workaround. Just wanted to put that out.
And just as a response, if I may, the issue of creating a process or a district that would accommodate cottage-style housing outside of going through the Board of Adjustment, as is currently how the ordinance is structured, and potentially offering another alternative to lot development, lot size development, that is on staff's radar at this point. We have to plug it in to everything else we've got. And as far as for replatting-related actions, that issue will be addressed potentially as part of a consultant services contract that's dealing with the central city as to how to address issues and potential reuse of existing RMF lots that are substandard. It may also result in possible amendments to our definition of lot, which was previously inclusive of the RMF zoning district. However, there is a lot of other associated issues with potentially proposing just a change in the legal lot definition to avoid the action that you saw this evening off of North William. The action off of North William actually is probably, all things being considered equal with the current situation, the preferred route. Short of allowing reuse of non-compliant RMF lots without platting, so that is part of what the calculus is here. We are well aware of the challenges that it is creating. The lot issue, however, is that is definitely an issue, but that has got a lot of other layers associated with it, like an onion. And as soon as you start peeling it away, we've got to figure out what it creates. And 22 work sessions to deal with a single land use topic, I really would hope we don't get into that. But
do it.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, we know we're going to keep plugging away at doing text changes. This coming year will be a very, very occupied year with a comprehensive plan, potentially the special plan or special study that is being performed by the consultant for the Central City. There are going to be a lot of topics that this commission is going to have to cover, and we likely will plug in a couple more. But it everything is just driven by time. So we will continue to work to figure out where we can squeeze stuff in.
Thank you. Commissioner McMahon.
Quickly, I second what she said. I'm going to say trees one more time, say nothing else. And if my fellow commissioners have no other...
I do.
Then I yield to you.
Thank you. I just also wanted to say, I know that finishing up the STR ordinance in time to present to City Council was not a pleasant process. But I really do appreciate everyone's hard work and staying late to try to get it done for multiple days in a row. And I greatly appreciate all of you. And I know we all did work outside of those sessions as well. So just heartfelt appreciation, and I'm proud of what we've accomplished and produced. So with that, Commissioner McMahon.
Move to adjourn.
Moved by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. We are adjourned.